Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. If you've missed any past programs, you can go find those at thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm, or wherever you like to get podcasts. And that goes for all of the programming that is here on Trumpet Radio. Well, a very interesting topic that really intrigues quite a few people is the topic of angels and demons. Spirit realm. Is there a spirit realm? What happens there? There's TV shows about it, movies, all sorts of ideas. But we need to look into God's Word to understand the angelic realm. God's Word reveals that God, in fact, created angels, and He created them before He created man. They've been around for a long time. The world is very confused about what angels are and what they do. But God's Word gives us insight into the purpose of the angelic realm. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, it says this: this earth was originally intended to be the training ground for one-third of God's angels. The earth has been around for more than 6,000 years. It's been around for a long time. And it's man that's only been around for about 6,000 years. So we have to understand the difference there in the age of the earth and how long man has been in existence. But notice a passage here in Job 38. We'll look at a few passages today, so if you have a Bible, it would be great to get that out. We can look at these passages together. Notice Job 38, verses 4 through 7. And this is God talking to Job. He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if you know, or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So, of course, God here, again, he's speaking to Job, and he's giving Job some perspective. Job had a self-righteousness problem that God was helping him overcome. And while Job was a great builder on the human level, God was showing Job that he, in fact, needed some humility. After all, Job wasn't alive when God created the earth. As a matter of fact, no humans were alive when God did that. But the angels were alive at that time. God had created them. Because we just read there that they shouted for joy at the creation of the earth. And Mr. Armstrong writes in The Mystery of the Ages, which is a free book at thetrumpet.com, very important book, so please get that book if you don't have it. It's free. But he writes that the indication is that the universe was brought into existence at the same time that the earth was. And so the angels here saw this creation. They knew that they could have a part in it, and they shouted for joy. They were excited. But it highlights the fact that angels have been around for a long time. Now, angels don't have God-plane potential like man does. But God did create them, and they are here referred to as sons of God. We just read that in Job 38, verse 7, the sons of God. God did make them, but they do not have God-plane potential. Let's notice this in Hebrews 1, verses 4 through 5. Hebrews 1, verses 4 through 5, we put these scriptures together and it builds the whole picture. It's like putting a puzzle together. It says, "Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they," referring to Christ. It says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, 'You are my son, this day have I begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.'" And so God has a different plan for mankind. Christ was a man. Now, he was God before that. He came to this earth as a human being. He was born and he lived as a human. And then now he's a God again. He was resurrected and glorified. And he set the pattern. He set the path for us to follow. man can become God. But God did not offer that to the angels, as we just saw. But still, the angels do serve a purpose in God's plan. And originally, one-third of them were to be trained on this earth. The correspondence course notes that the earth was to provide a glorious opportunity for them to work it, produce from it, and preserve and increase its beauty. They had a chance to really beautify the earth. It was perfect as created, but they could make it even more beautiful. Mr. Armstrong wrote about it and described it as, say, buying unfinished furniture, where it's structurally very well put together, but then it's a matter of, well, what type of paint would a person want to put on it to finish it up, to finish the job? And so the angels had this opportunity to beautify the earth and to use God's government and implement God's government on this earth. Now, angels have more power than humans do. They're more powerful than we are. They are spirit beings. Notice this in 2 Peter 2 and verse 11. It says, "Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord." Breaking into a thought there in the passage, but the point we're pulling out is that they are greater in power and might than we are as human beings. Angels have power, and so do fallen angels or demons. Notice what Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages. He said, "Angels are invisible, immortal spirit beings with power and knowledge superior to humans. They have seen all the activities of mankind on the earth, and therefore they know more about the human mind, psychology, sociology, science, and all the arts than any living man. Angels serve a great function in carrying out God's purpose for humanity. They are his invisible agents, often ministering in ways few understand to us poor humans who are heirs of salvation." And so God's righteous angels, they do help us. They do help us, as we'll see. And they have been around longer than man. They've seen it all. And they have, of course, more power, and more power in their understanding and in their knowledge. They have more history to recall and to look back on. Now notice some of the functions that righteous angels perform. Again, this is a quote from Mystery of the Ages. It says, "God has had angels specifically assigned to supervise and protect his church throughout all of its history." You can read about that in Revelation 1 and verse 4. And other passages as well. But God's angels do protect his church. They protect his people. The quote continues and says, "He has angels who continually walk through the earth to observe and report back to him the overall conditions on earth." You can see that in Revelation 5 and verse 6, Zechariah 4 and verse 10, and 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. So they serve the purpose of messengers. They take messages back and forth. And the quote says, "And God has angels specifically assigned to look after his begotten human children." So those people that God has called, and they have repented and been baptized and have received a down payment of the Holy Spirit through baptism and the laying on of hands of one of his true ministers, they are begotten at that point. In other words, not born yet into the kingdom of God, but begotten, growing, preparing to be born into the kingdom of God. He has his angels watch over them. Notice Psalm 91 and verse 11. It says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." And so God's angels do protect us. Now, the point is brought out also, if you go look in Matthew where Christ had the titanic battle against Satan the devil in Matthew 4, Satan tried to twist this scripture. And he told Christ, well, throw yourself down and, you know, the angels will catch you before you hit the ground, before you fall. And Christ, of course, knew the scriptures. He knew the word. And he said, well, it's also written, don't tempt God. You know, so we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be foolish and, you know, put ourselves in a bad situation intentionally and then, you know, ask God to deliver us from it and bring his angels to protect us. I mean, we want to do our part. But sometimes we might have an accident or a mistake or there could be a potential danger that we're not aware of. And how often has God protected us? probably many more times than we realize. And there probably are a few that we think back on and think, wow, how did I not get seriously injured here or hurt or killed? Well, God does send his angels to protect us. Oftentimes, probably far more than we realize. That's one of their functions. Talking about the righteous angels, of course. Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages, 12 of God's angels will be the gatekeepers in the new city of Jerusalem. You can read about that in Revelation 21 and verse 12. One for each tribe of Israel. These 12 may be assisting the Archangel Michael now. Angels are messengers. They appeared to Abraham and Lot, Hagar, Moses, and others. Many of the prophets and apostles. When these angels manifest themselves to human beings, they generally do so in the form of men. And so God does send his angels to specific people at times to deliver a message. That history is recorded in the Bible. That happened. And so that does happen sometimes for those that God is using in a leadership position, such as Abraham. Mr. Armstrong continues and says, the Bible mentions three angels of high rank. Lucifer, of course, he sinned and became Satan, but he's mentioned in Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Gabriel, who appeared to Daniel on two occasions, that's in Daniel 8:16 and in Daniel 9 and verse 21. And he appeared to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. You can read about that in Luke 1 and verse 19. And later Mary, the mother of Jesus. And third, Michael, called one of the chief princes in Daniel 10 and verse 13. Jude identifies him as an archangel in Jude 9. Michael is the archangel specifically assigned to protect and minister to the 12 tribes of Israel and to the true church of God today. You can read about that in Daniel 12 and verse 1 and Revelation 12 and verse 7. And so there's quite a few scriptures here, and we're not turning to all of them just for time, but you can go back and read about this. It's in Mystery of the Ages. And it gives some just fascinating insight. And again, it's all from the Bible. Mr. Armstrong's explaining it from the Bible. Some of the functions that angels have. God uses them in his plan. But Lucifer and one-third of the angels, those that were on this earth, they sinned. They sinned. How did they sin? Well, they rebelled against God's government. Lucifer became Satan. The sinning angels became demons. Demons. And so they're fighting against God's purpose. To no avail, but they still cause a lot of trouble. We need to be aware of them and aware of what they're doing. Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages, what caused the angels on earth to sin? To turn to lawlessness? Certainly, the ordinary angels did not persuade this great super being, Lucifer, to turn traitor. No, it was in him that iniquity was found. But after how long? We don't know. God does not reveal that, Mr. Armstrong writes. It could have been any number of years. It could have been one or less. It could have been millions times millions. See, we just don't know. And of course, we are, as human beings, subject to time. And so it's hard to imagine millions of years, but the angels aren't affected by time. They don't get old. They don't die. And so it could have been millions of years. They would think of that space of time in a different way than we would. Mr. Armstrong continues and says, and then, even after Lucifer himself made the decision to rebel and try to invade God's heaven to take over the universe, it is not revealed how long it took him to persuade all of the angels under him to turn traitor and follow him. But this is a really interesting point here that Mr. Armstrong now brings out. He says, I know well the method he used. And so now he describes the way that Satan caused the angels that he had jurisdiction over, that one-third of them that were on this earth, how he caused them to sin and to turn against God. And Mr. Armstrong understood this because Satan uses the same method today. He writes, he uses the same method today in leading deceived humans into disloyalty, rebellion, and self-centered opposition against God's government. So we have to pay attention to this because this is the way that Satan operates today. It says, first, he turns one or two to envy, jealousy, and resentment over an imagined injustice, then into disloyalty, Then he uses that one or two, like a rotten apple in a crate, to stir up resentment, feelings of self-pity, disloyalty, and rebellion in others next to them. And as each rotten apple rots those next to it until the whole crate is rotten, so Satan proceeds. That's the method that Satan uses. So we have to be on guard against that. We have to be on guard against envy, jealousy, resentment. And then it turns into self-pity, disloyalty, and rebellion. And it spreads. If one has that attitude and it's allowed to fester and that person's allowed to spread it, it spreads. And then somebody else begins to feel the same way. Oh, yeah, that's right, they might think. I don't get a fair opportunity here. It's not fair. And it's because, well, they don't like me as much as they like that person. And, well, why should I support this cause anyway if nobody likes me? And then it's just rebellion. And maybe you've seen that happen. We could all fall victim to this if we're not aware of Satan's devices, aware of how he operates, and then certainly go to God and ask for help to not let our thinking get that way. Because Satan does broadcast. He is the god of this world. As it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, he is broadcasting. He's the prince of the power of the air. And so we do have to be aware of that and draw close to God so that we have the power that we need to conquer Satan. Now, when the angels sinned, those one-third, along with Satan, of course, they had a penalty. There's a penalty for sin. Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages, their penalty, they are still awaiting final judgment up to now, he says, was disqualification, forfeiture of their grand opportunity, perversion of mind, a colossal earthwide cataclysm of destruction wrecked upon this earth. And we'll just take a look up into the universe. What do we see up there? Well, scientists keep searching and searching and searching. They're looking for another life form. They're looking for a planet that's inhabitable. They can't find it. The universe looks like, well, it looks like it was destroyed, doesn't it? Well, it was. Because Satan rebelled. He rebelled. He was Lucifer, of course. He rebelled. He became Satan, became the adversary. And he led a third of the angels, now demons after their sin, to fight against God. And the result is what? Well, the destruction of the universe. And then we get into Genesis 1, and you see that God had to resurface the earth, and he had to make it habitable again. And then, of course, mankind came on the scene. So there's a lot of history before mankind ever was created. And these spirit beings are still around today. The righteous angels and the sinning demons, and Satan himself. And so what are demons like? I mean, there's all kinds of terrible shows, I guess, that sometimes people make, and they try to depict that, and really, those should not be watched, of course. It's just gets really wrong and negative thoughts into people's minds. But they do have some ideas about those things. But what are they like? Well, Mr. Armstrong, he had some experience with casting some out. He had authority from God to do that. He had the power of God to do that at certain times. And so he did that. And he wrote about some of his experiences. Notice this in Mystery of the Ages. Mr. Armstrong writes, some demons are silly, like spoiled children. Some are crafty, sharp, shrewd, subtle. Some are belligerent. Some are sassy. Some are sullen and morose. But all are perverted, warped, twisted. See, those are traits that we've probably all seen at times, or maybe we got silly or, you know, somewhat sharp-tongued or crafty or shrewd. You know, those are things that Satan broadcasts, and humans can pick up on those attitudes and not even realize that Satan's broadcasting that type of attitude, that type of thinking. Those angels that sinned and became demons, they became perverted in their thinking. So we have to be on guard against those types of attitudes and that type of thinking because it doesn't come from God. Somebody that's being overly silly. You know, it's not wrong to have fun and have a nice chuckle here and there if it's appropriate, but, you know, there's a difference between that and just silliness. Spoiled children, it says. Like spoiled children. crafty, sharp, shrewd, subtle, belligerent, sassy, sullen, morose. All those types of attitudes and moods, they don't come from God. God's not a belligerent, sassy, sullen, and morose individual or being. Of course not. He's not that way at all. God is love. And the fruits of God's Spirit are expounded upon there in Galatians 5. That's the way God thinks. That's God's mind. But Satan's mind is this other way. So we have to be on guard against his thinking, his moods, and his attitudes. Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages, God's supreme overall purpose is to create, even to the extent of reproducing himself, and also that God must reign supreme over all his creation. Apparently, God has chosen this earth to become his universe headquarters and the seat of even the supreme throne of God. You can look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. But Satan had overthrown the government of God on earth. Now God proposed to restore his government over the earth through man. See, mankind, that's where we come in to the picture. Mr. Armstrong writes that God purposed to restore his government over the earth through man, created in the image of God, and finally to become part of the God family. We should heed Paul's admonition, he writes, not to be ignorant of Satan's existence or of his devices, nor let him get an advantage of us. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. Our supremely important purpose will be made clear, he says, in following chapters. So as you go through Mystery of the Ages, and of course a lot of that information is also in the correspondence course, it talks more about the incredible potential of man. The incredible potential of man. But in helping us along the way reach our potential, God does have angels that help and protect, and are messengers and serve purposes like that. And we are in a battle. There's a real spiritual battle, a war. And Satan's broadcasting, and his demons are stirring up trouble. Look at the world, right? Look at the news headlines. You see some horrific things. People doing things that are unthinkable. Who's inspiring that? Who inspires that type of behavior? Well, there is a spirit realm out there. And we have to be aware of it. We have to be aware of it. We have to know, according to God's word, what the righteous angels do, what their function is, and also what Satan and his demons are doing. And so there's much more information about that in Mystery of the Ages, chapter 2 especially. You can read about that and study more into it. And of course, there's information about this also in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence course. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.